So we've got an hour now to kind of have a little bit of exploration of the meditation suggestion, kind of instruction suggestion for the day of practice. And so there'll be a bit of time where I'm just explaining some of the ideas that we'll bring in. So you don't have to be in your full meditation posture for that bit. And then there'll be a very clear moment where, okay, now we're going to put that into practice, right? So there's going to be kind of like two parts, the theory and the practice part. And so if you feel comfortable in your meditation posture, it's your favorite posture to be in, then you can be in it for the whole time. Right? There's no problem with that. But if it doesn't feel like the most comfortable way to be, then you can be in a more comfortable shape for that, including moving to a chair or back or whatever. So feel free to be comfortable for this at the beginning. Before we go into it, there's a few kind of announcements and things. Is that what you were trying to indicate? Yeah. So the first part is that we have the opportunity to give our phones their retreat. So if you've brought your phone along to do that with, we'll just take a moment. There's the elastic bands, notes, pens, things like that. So feel free to do that, and I'll just pause for a moment while we fill out that part. Great, thank you. So the next thing to mention is that we will use the Q&A period today, which is, I think it's at 12 o'clock until 12:30. That'll be in here. And we'll use that primarily to speak about being comfortable in posture, in the meditation posture. So we'll kind of have a full time there and speak about any kind of questions, reflections around that. You can also, if there's any kind of questions, which is what this part would normally be for, the questions are not about like what we're doing in the practice, you can also bring those there, and we'll try and respond to both elements. As we said before, feel free if you need to, you know, or feel it's helpful to kind of write anything at this time during these kind of periods or Dharma talks in the evenings. But we're going to say not at other times at this moment. And another thing to mention on the practical level is we'll start the group meetings tomorrow. So let's start with like small group meetings where we'll have the chance, probably meeting in around six people at a time to explore the practice. If you feel that, you know, the pressure is building up of the retreat, or there's things that you want kind of to speak about with us, then leave us a note and we'll arrange something before then for you. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time now introducing some ideas, putting the practice into kind of a framework, and just inviting you to kind of just open to listening to that. Whatever you choose to actually do from there, it might just be helpful to get a sense of like what we're suggesting, how we're suggesting the practice. You're still very free to do whatever practice makes sense for you, that you know about, that works for you. But it will be slightly different than the development of the qualities that we're exploring on this retreat if you decide to go your own way. So all of this is in service of being more deeply rooted and moving our experience towards the sublime. And we're going to use this quality of dana, the generosity, the openness, the giving of what's most precious, as the kind of element that we're going to be tuning into. So before I go any further, how's the light for you? Is it okay? I guess I'm relatively dark. Yeah. So do you want more light on me? Yeah. So we can try this light. Put it like this. Is that helpful? No? Doesn't make a difference?
Your face is more dark now.
Huh?
Your face is now more dark.
More dark.
Yeah, it could be maybe one of the main lights.
Yeah, we can try it. Looks like this one's already on, but not working to me.
I don't know how helpful it is if I'm not sitting there when I try that. Yeah, this one. And also to get some light in the system, you know, to keep you awake.
But don't worry about that. It's just you see me at the moment.
No, not you awake, me awake.
Well, I'll tell you how to stay awake. Is that better? We don't know. Maybe if someone else has the lights, I'd like to sit here. Yeah. Just do one of those. Is that better? Okay. Yeah, and then turn the other one up. Is that nice?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So there's going to be a variety of levels of experience in this room, right? So some of you have a lot of experience of practicing and are familiar with like what's helpful for you and what works for you, what you feel you need, what you feel isn't necessary. And some of you maybe just kind of coming quite open-minded, not sure what's going to be helpful, what's not, and where it's going to go. So I'm going to describe these practices hopefully in a way that are accessible to those who are coming to this quite fresh, quite new. And for those of you with more experience, then you'll get to hear what I think are the kind of important things to kind of pay attention to. So also give you a chance to get to know me a little bit more in that. So one of the first elements of our practice is this sense that we are cultivating something. Yeah, any moment of practice, of experience, we're cultivating something. And what I prefer to use for the word meditation is actually the cultivation of different qualities, different attitudes. And so the what I personally think meditation is, it's bringing into being different attitudes or different qualities of experience that just wouldn't be there otherwise. Wholesome attitudes. And do you remember the Dalai Lama's translation of these far-reaching attitudes? Right? So actually kind of bringing into being these far-reaching attitudes that otherwise wouldn't be there. And that's what I make primary in a meditation practice. So does that make sense? Right? So what we're meditating for isn't super focus or extra mindfulness or any of these things necessarily, but actually so that we're cultivating the more wholesome, the more beautiful ways of being, qualities of our attention, moment to moment. Yeah. So that's one way of describing meditation. Another way that meditation is described uses a Tibetan word, gong. And in this, and I think that we'll see that this is actually a really important quality, it means to become familiar, to become familiar. So just as if a friend comes and visits or a relative comes and visits, what you want to know is, how are you? Yeah. before I, you know, give you anything, you know, whether it's, you know, a cup of tea or a comfortable seat or, you know, whatever. I want to know, I want to feel what I'm attuned to is, how are you? How are you? And so this idea that they use in the Tibetan, this word gong, gong, like, om with a g sound before it, gong. Actually, it's quite a nice word to say as well. Gong is to become familiar. How are we in the body? What are we holding in the body? How is the posture of the body? How is the rhythm of the breathing, the pulse of the energy of our body? How does the heart feel? It might feel open and delighting. It might feel tender or sad. How are you doing? How is the intellect, the thinking? Is it very active? Is it going into the future, into the past? Is it analyzing the present? Where's it going? How is it? So we get familiar to that. And hopefully you can see that that's really an essential ingredient before cultivating anything else. Right? How is it? What is it? No. I want radiant love all around. That's what I'm cultivating. Ignore how we are. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense. Yeah. When we are bringing new qualities into practice, it's really helpful to have a sense of playfulness here. Yeah. So we check in with how we're doing, how it is. Oh yeah, I'm trying to head towards this, trying to bring a generosity of spirit, an openness to experience today. That might be tricky. Yeah? We might fail to be able to do it, or you know, we might need to have permission to get it wrong. And so this kind of quality of playfulness is something that's really helpful. And it actually, it's generous to ourselves to have this quality of playfulness. Yeah. It's really that we want to have the space to explore, to experiment, to learn about our experience. And maybe we can't get it wrong. We could take that view within a sense of play. We can't get it wrong. We're going to learn something. Yeah, even if we go the wrong way, you know, take up a practice that just, you know, that was an absurd idea. You know. But I learned a lot from doing it. Standing on one leg or whatever it is. Yeah. Because each moment that we're getting more familiar with our experience, we're learning to have the patience and the honesty and the clarity that are there in these qualities we're trying to develop. Yeah. And each time we try to apply something that's more free, more awake, more beautiful, we're learning more about how our experience changes, what it depends upon, what we can do to affect it. And hopefully all of this, moment to moment, what we're cultivating helps to align us to our intentions, you know, what we came here to support, align us with the non-harming, align us with the well-being. So, the primary element that I want us to explore today is actually the generosity of giving more space and more time for our experience. So we're using this kind of gong, it's like this right now in the body. It's like this. But what if I give it more space? If I give it more time, sense of the generosity of giving that, the generosity of non-demanding. Well, that starts to open up and allows us to become maybe more deeply familiar, but also be cultivating what's already here to begin to soften. And within that softening, which can sound like, oh, that's how you make yourself fall asleep. What we're allowing in that spaciousness, in that softness, actually a more intimate, more sensitive, more curious relationship with life. Yeah, and that brings that kind of brightness, that energy, that alertness into the experience. Okay. So we're softening the demands. You shouldn't be here. Pain in the body. I don't want this. Okay, this is what's here. We soften, we open around that. And we also can bring a curiosity. Actually, where is that? How is that? Is it moving? Is it still? Is it whatever? Kind of bring that aliveness and brightness and sensitivity to that. So we're actually opening the space to allow us also to become more familiar. And in that more familiarity, more of that kindness, more of that interest, curiosity can kind of come through. Does that much make sense so far? Is that okay? It'll kind of finally fall into place when we do it as a practice. So when we're practicing, it's very helpful to have something that's actually kind of relatively dynamic and interesting to pay attention to. And I say relatively because we may have come from whatever, social media streams where, things are wow, really. And the breath or the sounds of this present experience, maybe they don't sound, well, it's not quite as fascinating as an emotional drama or something like this. But, when we hear these tinkering sounds of the net curtain thing, quite an interesting pitch, rhythm to that. You can just open to that for a few moments. It's quieter periods, noisier periods, suggestive of the wind, the movement, what's going on there. So we can practice our mindful presence with the sounds. And it can be sounds within the room, sounds outside, sounds within the body. But one of the areas that's very commonly explored is the breath, the movement of the breath. And this can be a really helpful practice as well, because the breath itself has already kind of been decided, its rhythm, its depth, its movement, its pace, all of that has kind of already been decided by the body and the automatic kind of system of regulation of the experience. Yeah. And that's quite an interesting thing. So there's ways of practicing that some would say, just pay attention to the breath and don't change it. But the way I think of practice and learnt practice and what really connects with me is actually change the breath. Make the breath the way that you want it to be, the way that feels more supportive. Yeah. So for example, if you notice how your breath goes when you're falling asleep, the way that it really just fades and disappears, it's all a part of disappearing yourself through this gentle releasing breath. Maybe it just comes in, just a very little amount, and then really out like that. If you keep breathing like that, you can actually, you know, bring yourself to a sleepy state, which is amazing that we can do that just through guiding our attention into the breath, really releasing, letting go into the breath. If you imagine a moment of excitement, which has a lot more, in breath comes out breath, maybe much less prominent. Ooh, you keep kind of breathing in that way. You can actually start to energize yourself through the breath, right? So the breath can be a really helpful tool, something that we can adjust to actually start to, let's have more in-breath, more upward movement, more brightness imagined even in the breath. Yeah. And in that sleepiness, too much energy, maybe but downward, and the kind of a soothing into a darkness, releasing that way. So if at any time you want to, you can just adjust the breath a little bit as well. And that can be a small adjustment or a big adjustment. But each time, it's all about that becoming familiar and then cultivating what feels more wholesome. Yeah. So we're looking for this kind of middle space. We want to be relaxed and we want to be alert. So we don't want to be so alert that we're stressed, and we don't want to be so relaxed that we're asleep. Yeah. And then somewhere in between, we can kind of regulate that. So for many of us, we could pay attention to the breath, and pay attention to a breath that's a bit longer, a bit smoother, with more time and more space. Yeah. If we're happy in the body space, in the breath connection, that could be really helpful. If you're not so happy in the body at all, then you can come to the sounds. But you could, with body sensations in general, or with the sounds, what can be helpful is to open the consciousness. Yeah. And that's another way of giving more space. So, for example, in this moment, what we tend to kind of feel is consciousness kind of goes up to around here. In fact, maybe consciousness is only up in here, which is, this is an interesting idea, because your consciousness is actually what's conscious of this whole room. You know, all of this that you're conscious of, this is your conscious experience. But also we can be conscious that there's a woodland around us. Maybe we can even hear the wind in the trees. We could even be conscious that there's sky above us. And each time that consciousness is getting bigger, which is, you know, just how it appears to be bigger, you know, it's taken in more. And then within that, you can feel, oh yeah, the whole body here. All these sounds are arising and passing in a larger kind of consciousness. So we'll become familiar with our experience, and then we'll open it out a bit larger so that experience has more space to unfold in. And typically that feels a little bit easier to be with. And that's the idea behind today. That kind of generosity of our attention. It's also generosity to ourselves. Gift ourselves a more easeful kind of experience. So a little bit about minds wandering, minds having their own habits and patterns of what they imagine is more interesting or more important or more nourishing. So, like we mentioned, you know, we're usually impacted by a more dramatic, more emotional, more story-based kind of way of things that we attend to. And here we're going to pay attention to something that hasn't got quite the same dramatic thing. It's like, oh, that breath was ever so slightly shorter or more raspy than the one before. I wonder what's coming next. May not really occur to us. Maybe like, oh God, not another breath. They're all the same. They're not all the same, but they can seem so similar that they don't really grab us. And then we feel that our task is actually to do the impossible and be with, you know, 45 minutes or half an hour or even 5 minutes of breathing, which is impossible. It is impossible to be with 45 minutes of breathing when you only exist in one moment at a time. Yeah. So there's really only one breath that is ever occurring at any one time. And that's the one breath that we're asked to be attentive to. That's the one sound that we're asked to be attentive to. And to kind of counter that, we can use little strategies. And one that I like to use is, can I be with the next three breaths? So don't worry about 45 minutes of breathing. Can we be with the next three breaths? Let's see, actually. Yeah. If you're not into connecting with the breath right now, you can do it with the sounds. For about that rhythm of three, could you be with all of the next three breaths, the inhalation and the exhalation? Yeah, we can. We can actually do that. If it does feel too much, we can do it in lesser amounts. We could just be with the inhalations for three breaths, or just the exhalations for three breaths. And in all of those ways, we are cultivating different things. Yeah. Over time, you can also start to bring more of your intention into those three breaths. You really have an intentional three breaths, where I'm meeting the breath, say, with the intention of kindness. Tuning into kindness more and more. Right? So this is a really good basis. Yeah. If you were going to have a day in the gym, you know, and you see some weights, you're not thinking, okay, I have to keep picking up and putting down these weights continuously all the time through my session. You would do little periods of time and then you'd put them down for a bit. So the same thing here, we want three breaths, but we're actually practicing that to be really good. Good, well, what would be gym technique, you know, whatever, but like really, yeah, feel the breath fully for three breaths, and then rest, and then rest. Allow yourself to also rest. And then when you feel ready again, we'll pick up another three breaths, or about the kind of equivalent time of three breaths of listening to the sound. So not pushing yourself, not exaggerating your experience, I have to be with every breath. No. We're cultivating qualities of attention. Much more than quantities of attention. It's the qualities which are what bring the freedom. It's also helpful to know, you know, we are blessed with bright and brilliant and intelligent minds that can think about other times, invent completely different times that have never yet existed, futures that we might wish to have, things that we forgot that we meant to do, and all of this can take us into different time and space. Great. Great that we have that. It can feel like it's the enemy of meditation. Yeah. But it's not. It's just, oh yeah, mind is going there. And this is something to become familiar with. If it's helpful, some people find it helpful just to say future planning. Yeah. Or remembering. Yeah. Or storytelling or whatever it is. Just to notice, oh yeah, that's where the mind's going. And that gives us that sense of familiarity. Not any sense of blame there. Not any sense of being anything less than perfectly imperfect, which is what we always are, perfectly imperfect. Yeah. Perfectly fine to have a mind that wanders. What will really matter is in that moment that we notice it, we are not away from our experience. We're really in our experience. That noticing of it is the aha, not an oh no moment. Yeah. Very, very tempting to say, oh no, I'm failing at this meditation thing. Because meditation is supposed to be being with every single breath that ever happens. Maybe, eventually. Not if we've just come from daily life. It's actually about cultivating the qualities of patience. becoming familiar and seeing if the next three breaths in a relaxed body, in a well easeful posture, can occur. And so that generosity of shifting that inner atmosphere from oh no to oh, okay, aha, it's like this. Okay, just a few words about posture. As we say, we'll come back to it more at 12 o'clock. But something that's quite important to know is we want a relatively stable posture. So if you're sitting on a chair, you're sitting on a bench, sitting on a cushion, your buttocks are going to be one of the key kind of points of contact and carry some of the weight of the body. And then in the chair, we have the feet kneeling, we have the knees cross-legged, and we have the knees, the lower legs are going to be two other points of contact. So right foot, right knee, left knee. Yeah. And is there a possibility of feeling a sense that all of them are there and they're supporting the body? So if maybe like a knee doesn't touch the ground, can it be possible to put something under them, put some more blankets now, things there to support? Really helpful that you can really feel that that's in there supporting us, and that can bring a sense of stability. Yeah. Does that make sense? So that we have like three points of contact, like a tripod, giving us that sense of balance. And then we can adjust the weight forwards and backwards to get to a place that we're comfortable. I'm sorry, can you ask a question? No, I'm speaking about posture. Thanks. And within the posture, what we also want to see if it's possible that we can have a softness, so a capacity to invite the body to relax, the face to relax, the shoulders to relax, the belly to relax, the hands to relax. And then within that softness, finding a sense of uprightness. So you could imagine a string pulling up from the top of the head so that it can really allow uprightness in the posture, and then releasing that down through a soft body. If you have that experience that the mind wanders in that aha, rather than oh no, can also just be helpful to notice, wow, I might be really leaning forwards or leaning back in that thinking pattern and took us away. So just coming in again to the posture, guiding ourselves into the posture and relaxing. Finding a sense of where the head rests above the body is something also really helpful. For many of us, we're going to point our head forward, and that can start to then cause the weight to fall forwards and the connection kind of the whole body goes down like this. So it can just be helpful just maybe tucking the chin back a little bit or resting back into the back of the body. And another area that kind of pulls us forwards is where the hands are. You know, if the hands are not supported, they can start to kind of pull us down. Also in that way, resting on the legs or resting the hands up in the body a little bit more, or on a cushion. Okay, so we'll say a little bit more about posture and about parts of the body that fall asleep and anything that we can do to get comfortable there. But for now, finding what feels comfortable, we'll move into a meditation posture. And if you notice during a period of practice you need to move, just feel free to move with the same mindful sensitivity that we bring to the rest of the practice. Thank you. So we do about 20 minutes of practice together. This longer breath, this wider sense of awareness. And then I'll speak a little bit about bringing this into the movement, into the walking practice, before we go up for that. We'll begin with a sense of gong, becoming familiar. What are you doing, body? Notice any areas of tension. Notice any areas where there's kind of an absence of sensation. Even any areas that feel at ease. Spirit of calm, it might be possible to tune in to how the heart is, how the heart feels, the tenderness, maybe the lightness. Spirit of calm can also bring our attention to how the intellect is thinking, busy, quiet, dominant, or quite absent. It's thinking about our posture, our practice, or if it's thinking about other things. Now, just noticing with as much as possible a non-judgmental attitude. It's like this right now. The sense of gong, we can also become familiar with where the boundary of awareness seems to be. Allowing that to extend to the whole body, or if we're going to practice with listening, to the whole sphere of hearing consciousness. Choosing an object, we could call our anchor of attention, the object of attention. It could be the breath, body sensations, it could be sounds. Just choosing one that you're going to primarily practice with in this session. Let's see, for the next three breaths, really notice the very beginnings of the in-breath. Right, arisings of the sensation. Just that. Not even the rest of the breath. Just the next three breaths, how it comes into being. And then resting. The breath is followed by the mind or not, or the sounds, the sensations or not. That's fine. And again, we see the next three breaths or equivalent. That's the arising, it's just coming into being. So where does it begin? And allowing the awareness to become again effortless, trying to shape it, direct it. Still noticing where it goes. And again, we're going to bring in the attention, this time to the whole of the in-breath or any arisingness of sounds, particularly. Not worrying too much if we end up tending to the other elements of the experience. Just a sense that things arise, they come into being. We're there for that coming into being. The generosity of the attention brings this to life in our conscious experience. For the next three breaths, really get to know the rising in-breath. And again, with the in-breath, the three breaths, you see how long and slow. So move the same amount of air over a long period of time. Slow down. effortless awareness in between, and those moments softening, opening to experience. Now we'll release the in-breath, release the arisings of sounds and sensations, and tune in more to the fading away, the disappearance. Really being with long, deep out-breaths, exhalation. The next three, all the way through. Disappears. Another three breaths, getting to know what an exhalation feels like, what that does in the energy of the body. It's like to be with the disappearance. Taking a moment for gong. How is it now? Particularly in the energy of our being. Yeah. High energy, low energy, well balanced energy. In a moment we'll be with the whole of the breath, the whole of the sounds and sensation. Particularly with the breath, we can notice you don't have to have an equal amount of attention. Really attend to the in-breath, and that might bring more energy. A very light attention with the out-breath. Or we might give a lot of attention to the out-breath, and that might help regulate and ease higher energy, restlessness energy. Smoothing out. The next three breaths in ways that feel supportive. Mm-hmm. That playfulness. Get it right, but to explore. And listening to the sounds, how much we want to open that space. How much we want to be intimate, connected, and that impacts. Noticing where the attention is. We're finding ourselves after some thinking. Not a problem to think. It's great to find ourselves here. Opening sensitivity through the body, doing body. Through the heart. You can have three breaths. And three breaths with the in-breaths, and three breaths with the out-breaths, and three breaths. That balance, the tension between the in-breath and the out-breath. Support the kind of awakening we're seeking. Last few seconds of the practice, noticing how it is, body, heart, mind now. Thank you for your practice. So there's quite a few elements there, but hopefully through it we can begin to also see and explore a sense of the generosity of our spirit, that we're bringing our attention to life, bringing it to life, bringing this kind of quality of holding and generosity in there. And it's also something that we can bring with us through the day, yeah, when we're taking at the meals or when we already have a door open, we can kind of be generous with that kind of spirit, sharing the space, being aware of others, giving to each other all of in those ways. And also when we come and we show up to the practice, it's a real act of generosity to each other, yeah, that we're here. It's a great support. It would be much more difficult if we were here on our own. Yeah, actually that generosity of spirit, when I come, coming on time, staying till the end, all of that's all part of a spirit of generosity. I just want to speak just for a couple of minutes about bringing this practice into movement. So some of you will be familiar with what we call walking meditation, broadly speaking, sitting within a collection of practices that we could call movement practices, practices with that same cultivation, that same getting familiar that we have in the stillness practices. And before speaking about walking and things like that, I thought what we could do is just a practice of what we might call flower hands. And it's a really beautiful practice to do. And we'll start with a closed hand like this. So if you can join in, you have a closed hand like this. And just feeling for a moment, we'll close our eyes, because that can increase the sensitivity at first. But then we will practice it with the eyes open. Just feeling how the hand feels. So it's not tightly closed. You could almost imagine there's a delicate feather in there. We're just protecting it from blowing away. Feeling how the palm, the fingers, the arm feels. Okay, now we're going to open the eyes, because this is typically a practice we do with the eyes open, but we're going to maintain that feeling. We're mainly feeling that hand there. And what we're going to do is just open out the fingers, and closing them back in again. And the sense of the flower is like a flower that opens maybe in the day, is closed in the night, opening out into the sunshine. Feeling the stretch, feeling the relaxation. Almost feel it. Maybe it's like a dance. It doesn't have to be a rigid movement. You might notice how it might merge with the breath, the rhythm of it. You also notice how it impacts other parts of the body, this movement. And continue, or you can let that rest. So we can actually bring this same kind of sensitivity to any movement that we're doing. So that way that we're just feeling that is something that I like to see kind of come through when I'm walking or moving the body. So a walking practice can be helpful. Maybe it's about 7 paces long or 10 paces long. And we have a place where we start, from a place of standing and sensitivity, becoming familiar. And it's feeling as we move, how it feels to move, that feeling of the feet touching the grass. Maybe we do it without shoes, or move that weight shifting around the body, wherever we want to kind of feel that. Quite helpful with the palms of the feet. But the soles of the feet can also be somewhere that we feel more in the hips. You might prefer kind of feeling that sense of movement. Again, I like to include a sense of the dance of that movement. It helps me feel more connected and also in tune with how I wish to be, more flexible, more fluid, more sensitive in those ways. It can also be helpful not to try and pay attention to every single step, just as we weren't paying attention to every single breath, and kind of build up over time. This next step, or maybe 3 steps, and then resting, completing the line. So we're emphasizing the quality of the attention more than the quantity of the steps. Yeah. Really being with those steps in ways that kind of open that sense of softness and playfulness and familiarity and opening to the kind of qualities that we wish to see. It can also be nice, and it's certainly probably an impossibility not to, that when we finish our line, we'll open to somewhere quite beautiful. Maybe it's a flower, a tree, a landscape, or just an appreciation of other beings here walking. Just taking a moment, opening to that, letting that in, letting that support us, and then turning around, and then we'll do that walking movement again. if there's a lot of tiredness or physical injury or things that make walking not the suitable practice, then feel free to sit somewhere and maybe something like the flower hands, something just like lifting and placing the arm, or just turning the head. Those kinds of practices can also be really supportive to bring in those qualities of familiarity and cultivation of the beautiful qualities. So certainly something to do and to explore, some place in our practice where a lot of the retreat kind of opens up for us. Won't go into that too much now to give you a chance to go out and explore it, but a lot of insights come, a lot of deepening of the well-being and the nourishment come through the movement practice as well. Okay, so then we'll take about 25 minutes for this. We'll come back for another sitting at 11 until 11:30, and then we'll be back at 12 for the posture workshop. So, hope you enjoy the practice. Thank you.